I think it's really cool because I get to talk to you, who I consider a friend, and beyond that, someone that I respect and who we've had the pleasure of actually working on a project together. You've helped with Hail Mary. You've given it life and this energy, and I just realized like I would like to know more about the process of who you are. Can you tell me who is it that you would say that you are?
I'm not sure how I would approach this, but I do like the take on it. I think I'm more of like a bag of contradictions. I go against every Asian stereotype I think there is, where Asians are like supposed to be good at math, and there's all these other things that I know is like what people expect of the typical Asian kid or the girl. I enjoy so many different things, and I feel that sometimes that works against me because I feel as if I never know which one to pursue at a particular time, and I feel like I am a jack of all trades and master of none. So I like to think I'm also hardworking. Definitely struggle with a lot of different things throughout my career because I'm self-taught, and I think imposter syndrome is definitely one of them. In terms of being going through that, I feel as if I have to work 5, 10 times harder than anyone else because I feel like I need to make up for that. I feel as if I work harder, there is nothing that all this is like a something that's like a mindset that I put upon myself. It doesn't have anything to do with people outside telling me, oh, you never went to university. You never graduated from high school. That's why you're not good. It's just the imposter syndrome. It's that evil voice at the back of my head that I seem to fight.
You started working right away in high school, and you have not stopped working. And I even tell you this, like, you are the most hardworking person I know. It's insane. I don't know when you sleep. And that drive in you, does that stem from the desire, like that voice in your head pushing you harder, or is a part of it curiosity? Is it where is that motivation coming from? Because like I don't think normal human beings can survive the way that you survive on the amount of work you actually do in a day.
I think it's definitely the curiosity as well, because for myself, I like to think that I'm somebody that like to try taking on challenges just to see how far I can go with it. And it's trying to prove to myself that I could do it, aside from the fact that I had the negative mindset that, oh, you didn't really go through the traditional route, that's why you can't do it. But it's more so the passion as well. I think by nature I'm a little bit of a workaholic, and I think I took that from my dad's side. He works so hard. He has been one of, he's definitely one of the hardest worker I know in my life, and I really respect him for that. And I saw firsthand how hard he's worked at. Sometimes it takes a toll on his mental, like his physical health. But I know that in order to get to where I want to be, I have to put myself through that process. And as long as my body is able to take it without any sacrifice of mental health, of course, I would take it while I'm still young and while I'm still able to. But yeah, it's still an ongoing process.
I love that. I love that because it shows in the quality of what you put out there, right? Like you obviously care and you've thought about it. I want to know what put you on the path of creativity and design and visual communications. Where did that come from?
I think as a kid, I was always more of like a creative kid. I knew that no matter what like career I took on in the future, I wanted it to be something that I could express myself creatively. And like most girls, when we were like 7, 8 years old, we wanted to work in fashion because fashion was all about making clothes, making someone feel beautiful, making someone feel confident. And that was something that I kind of carried through into my early teens, and I realized I couldn't draw. I felt
Very
like
honest.
that was going to stop me from being a fashion designer. And around that time, I also started to express myself creatively through the way I dress, because prior to moving back to Canada, I live in Singapore, where you don't have the ability to dress the way you would like to. You have to cut your hair a certain hair length as a female, or tie your hair up, and everyone dressed in uniforms back in Singapore. So moving back to Canada when I was around 15, that was the chance for me to express myself through the way I dress. And I felt like it was an exploratory phase for myself. I started dabbling in makeup and hair. And that was when I started realizing maybe I could get into being a hairstylist in the future. So I decided to drop out of high school and decided to pursue a career working as an apprentice at a hair salon. I felt like school wasn't going to give me what I wanted, and that was hands-on experience. And maybe that was like the naive 16-year-old perspective looking back at it right now, but I've always felt like I didn't really fit in high school, and I felt like I belong in the working world, and I got along better with people who were older than I was because they had a mature way of looking at life, and I got along with people better that way. So yeah, I got really into doing that. I was working in a hair salon for about 3 years when I got heavily addicted to StarCraft 2. And for people who do not know what StarCraft 2 is, it's a game. My older brother, Jonathan, thought that I was wasting my life away because I was staying up really late just to game until 3 or 4 a.m. and I had to wake up at 7 or 8 the same day just to go to work. So he did what other brothers thought was best. He basically took away my access to my game and told me the only way for me to get it back was to take to win 3 design contests on 99 Designs. So 99 Designs is basically a platform for contest holders around the world to put up contests and basically look for people who could create them a logo or a website. And it's all a blind contest. People who are participating are designers who are looking for that one chance to be the winning designer and get crowned their project so they can get the money. And looking back right now, it is definitely spec work, but I didn't know that back then. I was this naive, like 17, 18-year-old girl who kind of did graphic design for fun on the side, and I just wanted to get my Blizzard account back just so I could play StarCraft again. So I decided to participate. Yeah, so I participated. I obviously did not win many contests because although I did graphic design on the side for fun, I didn't know what web design was. I always thought that design was a creative expression, if you will. It was just for me to create posters, beautiful things. But with every contest that I lost, I compared my design to the winning ones, and I realized that, hey, there's a reason why these designs were chosen, not mine. And I started reading up more on it and got into understanding the principles of the foundations of designs, and I started to apply that towards my own design as I participated in more. And weeks later, I actually won my first one, and it felt really good. It wasn't much, it was like $475. I remember that number for a one page design, but it felt amazing. And for somebody like me who probably would take weeks to make that much working back where I used to work, I thought that was great. It wasn't just the incentive of winning more money, but it was more so proving to myself that I could do it.
So you spoke about imposter syndrome, and it shows up obviously, I guess, throughout your career. How do you mitigate, how do you handle that when you have those moments pop up?
I try to take it in stride, but in all honesty, it has affected me in different aspects of my life at the beginning where I felt like a fraud taking on projects and feeling like I wasn't able to deliver. But for every project that I took on and felt that way, I tried to work twice as hard just to feel as if I'm able to show myself and prove to myself that I was able to do it. So in terms of trying to take steps to overcome that, I think something that I encourage a lot of people who reach out to me to do is keep a folder on your desktop or on your phone. Just screenshots of all your old works or really nice testimonials from clients that you've worked with. And when you're having a bad day, open that up and see how far you've come, or read those really, really nice comments from clients and people you've worked with to understand and like hit home that, hey, you're not as bad as you think you are.
Yeah. So you think, so one of the ways of doing this is just reminding yourself that it's a journey that you have come from, and looking back and going, look how far, look how every step I took and had a success or a win.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes I look back on my first few designs that I did 10 years ago, and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe I put that out there. But being able to look at that and see all the mistakes that I took back then and being able to realize, hey, I would probably change this about this design, makes me feel as if I've come a certain step or a certain, like, I've come a long way since then that I'm able to pinpoint all these mistakes and know how I would improve that.
Yeah. Do you still view sometimes your work in a way that, do you view your work as a learning experience?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't know if there is ever a project that any creatives, not just myself, would take on where we feel like we're not actually learning something. And I think that's the beauty of it, because it's not just taking on a different project. You can take on the same project, whether it's a healthcare app or whether it's like an e-commerce thing. There's always something different about everything that comes your way, whether it's different requirements or different backgrounds that you will need to implement to your design, or simply even different stakeholders. Everyone have certain way of communicating, and you're learning something new with everything that comes in.
Did you ever have something not work out, and in hindsight, in your heart, you're like, that was probably for the better, but at the time, that just crushed me?
Oh, yes. Many, many times. And I think that has led to a couple of self-imposed breaks and burnouts that happened shortly after, but it's for the best. And I think being in this industry where it's a little cultural in the sense that almost everybody are competing on an international level. As long as you have a website, you're able to communicate and try to get the same project someone else is across the world. There's always going to be that sense of feeling like you need to be perfect. You need to be so much better than that 10,000 other people that you're trying to compete with.
What's interesting is the business you have now with your partner, John, is super effective. And what's I think is fascinating is you made the shift from being a sole proprietor into having to do a business with another person. What would you say is the biggest challenge of running a business with someone?
I think the biggest challenge lies in trying to learn how to let go of control. Running my own design practice for the past 10 years, prior to this, I was able to make all the decisions and call all the shots. But running Super Effective right now, I feel as if I have to take his thoughts and everything into consideration, which is not a bad thing. And it should be that way. But it is so hard when something that I was so that was ingrained in me, where I can call the shots for how I want, for example, like the Instagram feed to look, or like what kind of projects to take on. And now it's something where it's a situation where I had to pull him in, and we have discussions that makes it a little bit challenging, just because I don't understand why he doesn't see the way I see things. And it's just tough in that sense, but it's not wrong. And I think it's hard for people who, I guess, have type A personalities like I do to let go of control.
Right.
So it's a learning process.
Well, and so how do you two collaborate then? John is very technically sound from a development perspective, has really good insights on coming into that from that angle. So how do you two, where do you learn to relinquish control when you've got a vision for how something should be done? And when do you collaborate? How do you make those decisions for yourself?
I like to think that we both are aware of each other's expertise and skill sets. So like, he wouldn't come into my domain of design and tell me how things should be done, but I've always welcomed collaboration, and even his side as well. He's always asked me for my input when he's doing certain things for development and trying to understand more about design, which I really appreciate. I think it is the mindset of trying to understand that we each have our own skill set, that but it's also good to have another person come in and see it with a fresh pair of eyes and give us input that helps to make the relationship to help the process go smooth. So there are things that I take on personally on my side, which is more design and the marketing or social media side, whereas he does more of the finance and development. And I think it's a good balance between the two, because he's more of the logical side, whereas I am more of the creative side. So we kind of make it work.
So it's like you come in with your forte, your strength, and everyone kind of owns their own domain.
Exactly. As long as we understand where we come from, but at the same time, we're not shutting down the ideas of collaborating and talking about things, it definitely helps to push the relationship forward. There are some instances, like recently, where we weren't able to decide on how we would like to approach our social media presence. And being the social media / creative person that I was, I had a vision in mind. I really wanted it to be done a certain way, but I realized when we were talking about it that it didn't feel as if it included him, and it wasn't fair, because he is equally the same partner as I am in this process. And so we're actually going to be brainstorming some ideas and concepts for topics that we're going to be covering. So it's not like as if everything falls upon me or everything falls upon him. And so it feels like this is a teamwork or a collaboration where we can both have fun and still allow our own voices and skill set to shine through, versus feeling like it's only one person taking control of something.
Right. Well, and what in that, on all of that, what's been the most rewarding part about working together then?
I think aside from the fact, and I could be biased when I say this, he is my life partner. I think it's just amazing to be able to be with somebody who has been through a lot of different things in life with me, aside from COVID right now. But we can also run with our business and brainstorm on ideas and see things come to fruition. And he's always been my anchor throughout this whole relationship. He's helped me to stay grounded, and he's been so supportive of everything I wanted to do. There were times when I went through intense burnout and I just wouldn't want to do design work for weeks, and he has always been really supportive of that, understanding that I needed my time away from it without pressuring me to get back into doing and running our business, and I really appreciate him for that.
Oh. What do you think you would like to achieve with Super Effective?
Ideally, if we can get super effective to the point where we do not have to just rely on client work to pay the bills, that would be amazing. At the moment, we take on client work on the side alongside with our passion projects, because client work, aside from the fact that it pays the bill, we also generally enjoy working on different projects that come our way. And just being able to help clients to launch a passion project of theirs and seeing it come to fruition is amazing. But being able to work on our own internal projects would be awesome as well. Just because for all the client work that comes through the door, we want to make sure that we're able to launch things out in a timely manner. And so we always put a pause on our own internal projects, and that has kind of taken a toll on the timelines for a lot of our own stuff. But being able to launch our own products would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I'm not sure that you can talk about them because you still are working on them, but I do want to talk about the first one that I ever saw that I was blown away by, and it was when you and I had just first started talking, and it was a like a Pantone app where you could take a photo of a room and match pieces with an actual Pantone color, so you could ask for the same coloring at your home, like at your paint shop or at any home hardware store. And it was incredible because it was just so beautiful and so easy to use. Like, I'm sure you have a million and one ideas after that as well.
Oh, definitely, and I appreciate you saying that, because originally it just started as like a for fun project, like a weekend hackathon, but we just continued working on it, and eventually we decided to just push it out on Product Hunt for fun, and did not have any expectations whatsoever. So Product Hunt, I'm not sure if you're aware, but yeah, for people who don't understand who do not know what Product Hunt is, basically where makers, digital creators will put their products up and show to the world, and people can upvote on it. We put ours up and we went to New York for a short trip the next day, and on the second day of the trip, I pulled it up, maybe expecting like 10 or 15 votes if we were lucky. Being able to see it on the front page, which means that the Product Hunt team thought it was great and they featured it on the front page, was amazing, because it tripled our traffic rate at that point, and we had people coming from all over the world, from China, Brazil, US, Japan, just creating palettes and sharing it with the whole community was an amazing feeling.
So what else do you have going on in the works?
Yeah, so we are currently working on a CRM, a customer relationship manager, where we're targeting to help small businesses to keep track of potential leads and follow up or have touch points with their existing clients. We found that when we were working in our agency, there were a lot of projects that we had notes or clients where we had to follow up on things, but it was sort of like a scatterbrain approach where we had it in our notepad or we had it on some note apps, but it wasn't a internal general place. So we're trying to create something that we ourselves would use that we think other people could benefit from.
I want to know what the most interesting project that you've had the chance to work on has been.
Most interesting. I could be biased, but I say Hail Mary.
What? That was totally not rigged.
Funny because Hail Mary was one of the projects that I find that we always wanted to do something good and give something back to the community, and being able to work on something like Hail Mary felt make us feel as if we're able to help people out there. It's no longer the case of creating apps where we try to get people to stay entertained and retain their attention on an app platform, nor is it trying to sell them something through a website. And I felt like with Hail Mary, I got to express what Hail Mary could be creatively. And I was really excited because circling back to where it was at the beginning, there wasn't a branding in place, and I had a set vision in mind for what I thought Hail Mary could be, and I was really excited. I'm not gonna lie, I was making sure that I wasn't gonna be biased throughout the whole process of the branding exercise, but I secretly hoped that one specific logo was gonna be chosen, and it ended up being chosen, so pretty happy about that.
Knowing what you know now after all of these years, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I think continuously working hard, not that I wasn't doing that back then, but also being able to push through with a lot of projects, because I find that when I was starting out, I had so many grand ideas that I wanted to carry out, but I always started working on that and I never saw it through. And I felt like it was because I was being deterred in the sense where I felt like other companies were already doing that, like what makes mine different, or how is mine going to be successful, or would anybody even use that? And looking back, if I had started on it earlier, I feel as if I would have more experience actually executing and launching products versus feeling like I was never good enough. And I believe that if I had done this earlier, I would have more experience, and it would just translate into being a better designer right now. So, advice to my younger self to recap would be to push through and not just let things fall to the wayside just because of feeling like there were other apps doing that.
That's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful.
Thank you.
I, as you know, love talking with you. It's just always a blast, and I'm so glad, even though we're across the nation from each other, that we still get to keep up with each other and still get to work on some things together. And I've respected your work for so long. I'm watching you grow massively, your following for Instagram, etc., based on everything that you're doing. You really are connected with the community, and they do love your work as well. In case anyone wants to get in touch with you to get more information about how you do what you do, or wants to maybe tune in to one of your other IGTVs, what's the best way for them to reach out?
For sure, yeah. So I currently teach the business of design and design to designers on Instagram. So if you're looking to connect with me, you can find me at underscore design bytes underscore. Alternatively, you can find me on LinkedIn at Designatron as well. But aside from that, feel free to holler at weareSuperEffective.com.
WeAreSuperEffective.com. That's amazing. And yeah, Helen, I honestly appreciate everything you've done for us at Hail Mary to just make our business and our brand come to life. And I just appreciate everything that you do as a person. Even the way that you act and project yourself is just someone of integrity and a lot of hard work, and it shows in all of your work. And I appreciate you so much for taking just time out of your day to walk us through what a day in your life looks like and how you came to be. So thank you for this.
Thank you so much, Kaz. I really appreciate the fact that you approached me to do the podcast. And you know how I feel about you. I'm really appreciative that you're a friend in my life. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. And just so everyone knows, it's our first time podcasting together. So yeah, let us know that you enjoyed it. Leave comments, reach out. Really want to hear from you all. Thank you.